Fiona Evans is very much a lady of the theatre. She's currently got a play, Scarborough, which has just opened at the Royal Court in London, having been a major success in Edinburgh and winning a Fringe First. But her life in theatre goes back a little bit further than that. Fiona, welcome to Theatre Voice.
Thank you, Philip. Nice to be here.
First question is, tell us a little bit about how you became a playwright, because these days award-winning playwrights seem to be in their very early 20s. I don't think you'd find it too unkind if I suggested you're a wee bit more mature than that.
Just a little bit.
So do you want to tell us about life, how you got into theatre? And we originally met when you were working at the Assembly Rooms in Edinburgh, and that wasn't actually writing plays. So tell us a little bit about you and theatre.
Yeah, well, when we met, I was working in the press office at the Assembly Rooms, and I did that for about 5-6 years. But originally, I did a drama degree, university, fresh out of college, and went on to, well, it was the Poly then, Newcastle Poly, and did the creative arts course, as it was called then, which was really a political and community theatre course. And it was, brilliant. We didn't learn very much about theatre, but we talked a lot about politics and the responsibility of the artist, and really did a lot of work in communities. I mean, I started working on council estates, and which is, where I grew up myself as well, doing drama projects with groups in community settings. Really started running youth theatres, and invariably there'd be 20 girls in the youth theatre and one boy, and everybody would want an equal role, starring role. And there were just no plays really available that would accommodate that. So I just used to get the group to improvise around different themes that they were interested in. And then I would go away and write something for them to perform. So I did that for quite a few years. And then And also taught drama at the local college for a couple of years as well. So I've had quite a varied and interesting career. And after that, I went on to run the Hyena Comedy Cafe in Newcastle. I was manager there for about 2 years, and then went on to Newcastle Comedy Festival and ran that alongside Gillian Wilson. So I was working in comedy for about 4 years, and that led me on to doing the work in Edinburgh where we met at the Assembly Rooms.
And you were working in the press office there.
I was working in the press office, and I think really in a way it's stood me in very good stead for understanding and knowing how to deal with, reviews when they come out, and, particularly the bad ones. But, and I think it's probably a good job that I'm, a thick-skinned northerner, given some of the things that have been written about me in the last few days. But, it's just one of those things. And you realise that as, critics, they just have, they're entitled to their own opinion, even if they are wrong. But yeah, and it's fine. It's just one of those things. It's you can't take it too seriously, really.
The connection with the Assembly Rooms was obviously useful for you, because your first play, We Love You, Arthur, was put on there, what, about 3 years ago, probably?
Yes, 2005 it was, during the Fringe there. And I'd asked Mary Shields to come down to a reading that we'd had in Newcastle. And she came down and, really liked it and offered us the spot at the Assembly Rooms. So then I just had the small problem of raising about £25,000 to put it on, because it was there was four actors in it, and obviously we wanted to do a good job. But luckily, New Right and North have been very supportive, and it coincided with them wanting to venture into production. And they applied to the Arts Council for support, and the rest is history, really. We got We Love You, Arthur on at the Assembly Rooms, and it was, such a thrill just to have, having gone up to, the festival for years and years, from, being 16, we used to, get the National Express up to and stay in the local hostel or on somebody's floor. We couldn't actually afford to go in and see a show in the Assembly Rooms because we were so skint. We could barely afford, to eat when we were up there, really. So it was a big thrill to actually eventually get something on there and be part of, you know, the family up at Assembly Rooms, because, you know, working there as well, it's a, you know, very supportive, and they're, you know, they're just a good group of people, really, and it was fantastic to have something on there and be part of it.
And then you left the press office behind and came to, I suppose, the other side of the footlights, or somewhere nearer the other side of the footlights. And this year, well, last year now, in 2007, your new place, Scarborough, appeared sort of in the Assembly. It was certainly in the building, but it was in a part of the building that none of us had seen before. Do you want to tell us how that came about?
Yeah, what had happened was Scarborough evolved. Scarborough originally was at the, it was done at the apartment in Newcastle, and it was part of the Orange Bite Size Theatre project that was going on, that New Writing North had developed again. And so it started off as a half-hour piece, so people could go in, have the lunch and watch a piece of theatre. And it went down really well, and the response was fantastic. And Deborah, the director, Deborah Bruce, had said, you know, this would make a perfect fringe piece. And I was, yes, it would make a perfect fringe piece. Let's take it to the Edinburgh Festival next year. And everybody got all excited about it. And I just thought, it's got to go. So, what we originally wanted to do was to do it as a site-specific piece, actually in a bed and breakfast. But as you know yourself, having spent so much time in Edinburgh during the festival, hotels and B&Bs are at a premium. And it would have just cost an absolute fortune, and nobody was willing to sponsor it or give up. And a room, and of course there's all sorts of health and safety implications to do with access, people having access, so we were going to have to get theatre licences sorted out, so it was just going to be a nightmare. And we, you know, it was sort of like the deadline was looming as well for the Fringe brochure. And it, as usual, being a writer, having absolutely no money whatsoever, I phoned up my friend Justine Watson. I said, Justine, we really want to take this play to the Fringe, but we've got no money, we haven't got a venue, but we have to register it today. And she went, well, she says, I'll help you out if you really want to go. And I went, well, I do. And I went, oh, there's a small problem of like nearly £400 to register it with the Fringe. And I said, oh, I'll phone up my sister. So I borrowed the money off my sister on, you know, bearing in mind that we didn't have a venue or any, you know, financial backing.
But you did at least have a play at that point.
We did have a play, yeah.
Probably and most people who get to that stage don't even have a play.
Oh, well, that's reassuring to know. But it was just, you know, we knew that it would work. And I also Justine, who produced the show, we'd actually met in the press office in 2002, so we'd worked together, so we knew a little bit about what would attract press and get some publicity for a show. So we wanted to make it a bit different, and again Mary Shields was very supportive and was trying to problem solve it, trying to find us hotels, and the marketing department were trying to link us up with the links that they had, but just nobody would go for it. And Mary went, she said, there's this little room that technically is allocated to the technicians at present. She said, I'll have a word and see what we can do. So literally they give us an office. I think it was the old box office, and I think maybe it had been used possibly as the press office about seven years ago once, when the press office had moved downstairs. And we walked in, and it's really just a bare office, as you would imagine, quite clinical, and it was tiny.
And then remarkably, when I went into it a few weeks later, it was the grungiest B&B bedroom you could imagine. Yeah. So the transformation was
amazing.
Remarkable.
And that's really down to Joe Newbury, who's the designer and a friend of mine. You know, really getting Scarborough to Edinburgh has been everybody just mucking in, and really it has been... you know, just everybody doing their bit and doing it for not very much money or, you know, for free at times. And, you know, certainly Deborah, who directed it in Edinburgh, she gave her services for free because, you know, and Justine, the producer, just because they believed in the play. So we all took a gamble on getting it to Edinburgh, and luckily, you know, it paid off. But getting back to the design, Jo was just amazing. I mean, she's actually a television designer, so she does a lot of work on Heartbeat and you know, a lot of films. So she's used to that close-up, intricate detail, and, you know, the plates, the Lady Diana and Prince Charles plates that are hanging on the wall, and the wallpaper that's actually peeled off where the damp is and things like that. And I think people were just amazed and completely fell in love with the actual design. In fact, the design got better reviews than anybody that... the tea's made got reviewed more than the writing did, which is brilliant, or any of the actors. It was really
I think funny. You're probably being a little bit unfair to yourself. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that writing and about, well, the two actors in Edinburgh to start with?
Yes, yeah. Two actors in Edinburgh were Holly Atkins, who was absolutely fantastic.
And came to London.
And came to London with us, and she's doing a brilliant job. And James Baxter as well, who was in the original production in Newcastle, alongside Ashley Sanderson, who was playing Lauren in Newcastle. And, you know, they were fantastic in Edinburgh and were nominated for stage awards as well, which was great. And just, you know, it's so good when you've got a cast that is so strong and can deliver the words that you've written in the way that, you know, that you intended.
And it's a very difficult subject that you chose for this play.
Yeah, it is. And also, it was really important, and Deborah really felt that she wanted, you know, to get the young person as near to the age as, because obviously it's about a teacher who takes a 15-year-old pupil away for a weekend in Scarborough.
And this is somewhat unusually a female teacher who takes a male 15-year-old out to a bed and breakfast in Scarborough.
Well, I don't know. There've been quite a lot of in the press. There've been quite a lot of stories lately about female teachers having affairs with younger male pupils.
You don't think that's people who saw Scarborough?
I don't know. It's a funny. It's an unusual situation, but it has been, you know, it has been in the press an awful lot. And it was an interesting subject for me to explore because I was doing a lot of work in schools as writer in residence, and, you know, you're going to the schools and you see these, you know, 15-year-olds who essentially physically are young men. But their level of emotional maturity is really, you know, needing to catch up to their physical maturity. So really seeing that in the school and looking at that, I was very much interested in exploring that, and, you know, because you could see how possibly somebody would think that somebody was older, you know, externally, but spend a bit of time, and, you know, if you had to let that relationship develop a bit, then the cracks would appear, or certainly the differences would come through.
And that was really what the play was about.
Yeah, absolutely. And in a way, it is it is about the huge age gap as well. And, you know, we really wanted to explore, I suppose, when does a child become an adult, you know, which is why we set it over the weekend of Daz's 16th birthday, and also now Beth's in the two-part of that.
Let's take you on a stage then. So you started off and you'd managed to get your 400 quid together to go into the brochure.
Yeah.
Then you got the show on in Edinburgh.
Yeah, that was beg, borrowed and stolen from everybody. In fact, my friend lent me £3,000 on a credit card to pay the actors just there, because I was panicking. I was in such a state a week before the Fringe, going, I've got no money to pay the actors, I don't know what I'm going to do. And she went, yes, as long as you give me it back. And I went, okay.
And this remarkable leap of faith was then rewarded with complete sellout in Edinburgh.
Yeah.
I was in a room where there was virtually no space for anybody. I was getting walked on by Holly when she was acting, which is fine, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, we should have charged you double.
No comment.
Yeah.
And then from there, it got the Fringe first, yes. Which is brilliant.
In the first week, which
in the first week, which means an awful lot. Yes. Suddenly, 3 months, no, a bit more, 5 months later, it's at the Royal Court. Yes. What was the connection there? Presumably someone at the court came up and saw it.
Yeah, Ruth Little had come to see it, and also Diane and Sasha Wares as well. They'd seen it up in Edinburgh and really, you know, really loved it. And then it was just, you know, there was interest, and we knew there was interest, and we had a few other offers from different places in London, and decided, you know, obviously the Royal Court in terms of new writing and everything is just a fantastic opportunity.
And they commissioned it really quickly.
Yeah, it was more or less, you know, straight away, really, a few meetings, and it was just let's get on with it and get it on. And they were very much interested in the idea I had about the role reversal for the second half.
Yes, that's something that was completely new. So effectively what we have is the Edinburgh show, which is 40 minutes long, followed by an interval, followed by fairly much the same script again, but this time with a pair of new actors, Daniel Mays and Rebecca Ryan.
Yeah, and also do a fantastic
who are brilliant. Well. And the difference here is that the teacher is male now, still exactly the same age, and it's a young girl that he's taken to the hotel in Scarborough.
Yeah.
Where did that idea come from?
Well, it was something that was developed actually before we took the play to Edinburgh, because Claire Malcolm from New Writing North, we were chatting about how we could possibly expand it, or if it was to be published, because obviously it's an odd thing to have a half-hour, you know, play, really, because the text is half-hour, Deborah's beautiful direction and the scene changes and moving it on leads it, you know, sort of like fleshes it out a bit to a longer production. But essentially the script's about half an hour. So we were looking at ways of how we could, I suppose, make it value for money, or if it was to transfer anywhere, how we could, you know, how we could expand it. And because I'd really worked hard with Deborah when we were developing it for the lunchtime theatre slot, we really worked on it being a tight half hour and trying to get, you know, it being a snapshot. And I was really pleased with it. And I just thought, I don't want to write extra words just for the sake of it. So that was really the thinking behind. And Claire had said, you know, it'd be really interesting to see it with the gender roles reversed and the older man. And I was going, yeah, that's a great idea. But originally, I thought that we were going to have to, well, that I was going to, I always say royal we, because me and Deborah feel as if we've been married for years now, having worked so closely together over the last year and a half. I thought I was going to have to write another companion piece, really, and say something completely different. And then I thought, well, that's a bit of a cheat, because then you're putting the emphasis, it's a different relationship, and you're saying something completely different. And we thought, I wonder how it would be if, you know, if it was the exact same words and, you know, and we just reversed the roles. So we got two actors round to our flat one night. We don't live together, by the way, round to my flat. and just as an experiment, and we really thought that we'd come away from it thinking I had to go away and write a second piece that was completely separate. And what came out of it was like, oh no, it's really interesting seeing the same words spoken, you know, by different actors with, you know, the gender roles reversed. Obviously, some of the critics haven't thought that. but we think it's an interesting exercise. And we just think it's, you know, it's not that we're trying to, you know, say anything universal about gender roles, or it's an experiment, really, and it's just there for the audience to decide about those particular characters. It isn't saying that all relationships between older men and younger women are like this, or all relationships between older women and young men are like that. It's just saying these are two sets of characters in a particular place at a particular time. You make your mind up, and some people are loving it, and and the odd person isn't.
We better avoid talking too much about odd people, possibly. Is this going to change your life? You seem to have a lot of script writing gigs for TV lined up now. So is your life going to change because of Scarborough?
I think it already has. You know, I think, I think my life changed on the 8th of August in Edinburgh. And
that was the day you got the Fringe first?
Yeah, I got the Fringe first, and it was... on the same day, 2 hours later, I found out that I was accepted on the BBC Writers Academy. So that all happened in one day. And it was, like I said, if I was writing a script, I would have had to kill myself at that point to create maximum dramatic impact, because it was just too good to be true. It was a fantastic day. And I think from that point, you know, things really turned around. And really, in a way, it's because now I can write and get paid professionally for what I enjoy doing. Whereas before, I was having to... I mean, and I love doing the schools work. Yeah. I love going into schools and all the community work that I've done over the years. It's absolutely fantastic. But I was actually, you know, having to do it to pay the bills, and it was preventing me from actually writing up the ideas that I had. Whereas at least now, it's freed me up to actually, you know, get on with the writing, and then you can dip into, you know, doing the educational work for fun, and, you know, to give something back rather than just because you need to, you know, pay the bills, really. Yeah.
Well, I hope that that's not going to prevent you from writing more plays for the stage in future.
Oh, no, absolutely not. And I must give a mention to, because we've mentioned everybody else in the cast, to Jack O'Connell, who is
the new Daz
as well, who is the new Daz, who they're just all fantastic, you know, really fantastic. And I couldn't have wished for a better cast for it. And, you know, we're having a ball. It's, you know, it's really good fun, and just... so proud to, you know, to have actually made it to the Royal Court. It's like, it's a long way from the Sunderland council estate that I came from, and it's interesting that my teachers when I was at school wouldn't let me do English literature because they said I was too thick and I wouldn't understand it. So yeah,
you are it now.
It's nice, isn't it?
Okay, Scarborough is playing at the Royal Court Theatre upstairs until the end of the first week in March. I don't know if
we've got the extension, so it's because we'd sold out so early, they extended it for an extra week, so it's till the 15th of March.
I guess that probably that week may have sold out already, but people may want to jump in and take the opportunity to go and see what is a fascinating play in the most unusual setting. The setting isn't quite as good for me as it was in Edinburgh, just because health and safety has meant there's a lot more space available, but it's still fantastic. Fiona Evans, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks, Philip.